Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
I'd also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
Well, Dave, as I recall, last time we were talking, you had mentioned something about having to return not only pieces of the Ark back onto the house, but also the animals back to the zoo. How's that coming along? Is that you still having problems with getting the animals back into the zoo?
Yeah, they caught me the other day. I had to contribute $1.50 or whatever the sustaining membership thing is to for them just to take the animals back, and I don't have to play any more of those stupid animal games now. So,
That's good. Is it still pretty dry there in Dallas?
It's been great. You know, I like it. You know, I mean,
How are the winters there in Dallas? Do they get pretty cold?
See, you know, now it's funny you should mention that, John, because this is what concerns me. You know that old wives' tale that says if you have a wet summer, you're going to have a not so wet winter. With snow and stuff?
Well, no, I've never heard that before, but if you say it's true.
Yeah, I used to hear my grandmother talk about it all the time.
Okay.
So this is what concerns me, is because we had so much rain,
right?
That, according to Wives' Tale and to the almanac, that means we're going to have one hell of a winter. I mean, you know, and Dallas doesn't have that much snow, but, you know, we do have some cold times, except for the El Nino BS. But I think we're going to have a heavy snow, and so, you know, I think, you know, actually, I didn't want to tell you this, John, but, you know, I've actually been kind of experimenting with a new concept here at Rabbitville.
Oh, so you got a new project you're working on?
Yes, I do, and what I planned on doing, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to convert this concept into snow skis, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to really do that. Because I did already do some experimentation today, John, before we went into studio.
Yeah.
And it didn't turn out so well.
Oh, well, what happened?
Well, do you know what a carve board is?
Card board?
No, carve. C-A-R-V-E, carve board. You're from California. You don't know what a carve board is?
Well, as you say so often, it's a foreign country, and no, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, basically what it is it's like a 5 or 6 foot long board that's flexible, and it has like some rubber tires on the front and the back of it. And Jack uses it a lot when he does his sidewalk surfing here in Dallas.
Now, Jack is?
Jack's my son. Yeah, Jack Rabbit.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so I borrowed Jack's carve board, and just because I was having some real problems with it, I got a couple of Bunny's tennis shoes.
Right.
And I nailed them to the back of the carve board because that way, because, you know, carve boards really don't have any brakes.
Right.
And so that way, when I stomp on Bunny's shoes, you know, I should be able to slow down. And then just to simulate what I hope will happen when winter comes is I hitched up my team of 6 dogs.
Yeah.
2 poodles, the blue heeler, the Labrador retriever, the miniature Doberman, and then there's another poodle. So I've got them all hooked up. And, you know, I had this kind of these chain things. I was going to use my whip, but I really felt like I needed my whip to really give them some enthusiasm.
Right.
So anyway, just to make it more effective, John, what I did is I went out to Toys R Us and I got the smallest that they had roller skates. And I put them on each of the dog's paws.
Oh,
now, you know, now you laugh, but I want to tell you the hardest part was not convincing them to put their little paw into the shoe, but was to find a way to where I could tighten it to where the you know, their roller skates wouldn't come off.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, we live on a huge hill in Dallas, John.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I know I'm giving away some locales, you know, but we live on a huge hill. There's a bunch of huge hills. We don't have mountains, but we have huge hills. And I tried it today, and I actually recorded it just to, for, you know, just to see what would happen. And I thought maybe it might be kind of fun to record it, maybe, you know, play it on the intro. So
So you're telling me that this is you and your makeshift dog sled?
Yeah. And we start out the top of the hill and kind of go south.
Oh, really?
really go south.
Well, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, when you hear this, you're going to get an idea of how the O'Daveroo really comes up with some great ideas.
All right, well, let's listen to it right now.
All right.
Okay, John, we're getting ready to try this, my first run here with a new dog sled team that I've got. And we're going to see how it goes, and hopefully it'll go fine. I'll be able to get down the hill and come back up the hill, simulating, of course, that we have heavy snows here in Dallas, as I predict. All right, here we go. Okay, boys, here we go. All right, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, John, I just seen a cat down the way. We're... Oh, no. John! The things I do for the show.
I don't mean to be laughing, my friend, but oh my God. I hope nobody was hurt in that. Everybody survived that, correct?
Well, I'm on the show, so I guess I did. The dogs are no worse for bear, but a few of the people that missed us along the way as we went out in the street may have some problems. I may have a lawsuit. I'm not sure. This one lady.
Yeah, that really must have been something for whomever was breaking there quickly. Yeah. Probably were wondering what on earth. They probably had to rub their eyes a few times. Did I just see what I think I just saw?
I don't think she rubbed her eyes. She shot me the finger, though. She's about 60, 70. I don't know. I don't think she could take a joke.
Oh, my God. Well, Dave, I'll tell you something, my friend. The arc thing, well, yeah, okay, it was raining. I actually kind of enjoyed the whole idea, but now this project that you just did, out of all the dumb, lame, stupid stunts that you have done, this has to be your most recent. All I can say is that I'm glad that everybody lived through this. You'll have to obviously give us an update if you decide to do this again. In the meanwhile,
thank God Bunny wasn't home. Jeez.
Especially
when I had her poodles out there leading the pack.
Right. Sure. I'm just visualizing the poodle.
If I had pink leotards, I would have been really in fashion, you know.
Well, we've got a great show for everybody, and we hope you folks are going to enjoy it. And I think we shouldn't keep anybody in suspense any longer.
Let's not
say? So let's hit it.
Now, from the AboveTopSecret.com mobile headquarters team, currently parked outside the Bellevue Hospital in New York, New York, it's the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous.
John, I'm in the military and government project section right now, and I'm looking at a thread entitled Blocking the GPS Signal Cornwell, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but it's in the United Kingdom. And this is by a member who goes by the name of Now_Then. Blocking the GPS signal Cornwell. Has anyone heard about the jamming of the GPS signal over an area of Cornwall? Well, he says Cornwall in one thing. He calls it Cornwell. Anyway, whichever one it is, in the United Kingdom for a day. It was a small piece on the local news here. Was only half listening at the time. Supposedly it is an exercise to see how police, ambulances, and military cope if, you know, some sinister organization started blocking GPS signals. I can't find anything on the net at the moment, just really looking for a location date, and so and so and so and so. And then, you know, a couple of people, you know, Anagram says, I never heard the news, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Blue Triangle said some stuff, and then Blue Triangle made a comment. He says, let's hope this is never done. I'm a geocatcher. So that would make
I'd like to correct you. That's geocacher.
Okay, whatever.
Do you know what a geocacher is?
If you will let me finish, following respondee tells us what the definition of geocacher is, and don't even go there. Don't go there with me. now and then says, what's a geocacher? Oh, it's like kosher. I don't care. What difference does that make? Off the top of my head, I'd say it's something like a high-tech orientering. What the hell is that word? Orientering? O-R-I-E-N-T. Orientering or something? What the hell is orientering?
Think of it like this, kind of like a triangulation.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I got it. Thank you, John. Really. Secret Titan. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm here to help, buddy.
Yeah, you're helping a lot. I'm going into flames here. You're giving me a dictatorial kind.
I got a life preserver.
Yeah, well, it ain't working. Now and then pose for the edification of all the members of AboveTopSecret.com. Here is the BBC Spotlight on blocking GPS, and then he gives a shortcut. And then it says, then it shows a map. Now, here's a map of England, okay? And it shows on the map with a little green arrow exactly the circumference of the area. Now, I don't know anything really about the United Kingdom, but I don't know anything. I know about London and some of those, but I mean, I don't know anything about some of these smaller towns. But here's like North Cliffs, Bell Lake, Connor Downs, Bat Ripper, Whip, whatever that is, Four Lanes.
They always got great names. They always got great names.
Busville, Scorier, Scrotum Lake. That's Skinner's Bottom. Sure. Sorry.
Anyway, what you're trying to say is it's.
I guess what I'm trying to say. No.
Circumference of a large area.
It's a huge area.
Yeah.
And then, now this is what really is amazing to me about this thread. Now, I mean, all BS aside, now this is what really just kind of really nailed me into this thing. I'm going, because all this stuff is going over my head, and I'm going, the mod has what does this mean? The mod, got it. The mod has in recent years conducted an extensive remediation program at, oh, Christ. I always pick threads that I can't pronounce. Well,
anyway,
crap.
While you're trying to figure that out, let me just say that the MOD is actually the MOD, the Ministry of Defense.
Oh, thank God. I was trying to figure out what MOD they were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess it is kind of nice that I have you along, John, sometimes.
I'll blow up your life preserver ducky for you.
Make sure it's the rubber ducky. Okay, the MOD now. I know what the hell that means.
There you go.
What's it? Minister of I see. These guys are all from the UK.
Yes.
No wonder none of this crap makes any sense to me. I don't talk Brit. Okay. God, no. What I thought. God, I'm not that stupid. I mean, no. Okay. They have all these little shortcuts going to all these different things. And what the hell is Zero Lift?
Zero Lift?
Yeah, what does that mean? Zero Lift with a big smiley face beside it?
I got to be honest with you, I'm clueless on that one.
What is Zombie Reagan?
And I'm clueless again.
What good are you? You're supposed to be helping me with this thing.
Hey, look, I've got 8 out of 10 of them. All right,
I've sent you. Okay, I'm going to sum this thing up with just
please.
One. Wait a minute now. I'm going to sum this up with a paraphrase of this ATS member that is pronounced. Oh, this is going to be good. the numeral 2.
Yes.
Klewan. 2 Klewan? Or no, C-I-E.
Spell it out.
A numeral 2, C-I-E-W-A-N.
By the way, that's a universal sign.
It is the universal sign of love and peace. 2 C-I-E-W-A-N says, this is only one form of jamming. I doubt it will be localized jamming device, more like errors fed into the GPS satellites, in which case there is nothing to blow up. During the Gulf War, it was interesting to... What are you laughing about?
I don't know. It was just so funny, you know, nothing to blow up.
Oh, okay, sorry. During the Gulf War, it was interesting to watch GPS get more accurate as the Americans, see, they keep calling us Americans. What the hell's the deal with that? Had to switch off
the... What the hell are you?
Well, I know, but I mean, they're all from Britain, and they're sitting there, you know, whatever, okay. During the Gulf War, it was interesting to watch GPS get more accurate as the Americans, you Americans, had to switch off the errors in the system so that they could use off-the-shelf GPS units as they could not get hold of enough military systems. And I guess what's scary about this topic, and now I'm going to get off the silly crap and get down to the real bottom line, if we have the technology, obviously we do. I mean, if they can go into Cornwell or Cornwall, which they've corrected their own self about on their own article, and they're from the UK, and they don't even know what the name of their town's called. But if someone can do that for a mile radius of 10 miles or 20 miles or whatever, it's scary, John. I mean, that really scares me, because when you stop and think about they have the ability with the satellites to sit there and actually hone in on a GPS signal. I mean, they find people that have had car wrecks that are out in the middle of the desert or whatever from their cell phones. So, I mean, the fact that we have that technology, and the fact that anybody, some secret organization, Al-Qaeda, whoever, that can sit there and knock out a GPS signal for a circumference area. Imagine what that does to the communications of that area. And to me, that is scarier than crap.
Speaking of scary, here's something that's also kind of scary along the same lines. From an article I remember reading many, many years ago when cellular phones were first being incorporated with GPS, I was informed by, again, another person that I had interviewed many years ago, that the military made a request to all manufacturers of GPS devices that were going to be placed in vehicles and on cell phones and whatnot,
right,
that they change that so that its accuracy was something like off by, and if I recall correctly, it was something like 20 feet or 50 feet, something like that. And the reason was that the accuracy was pinpointable up to, something like 6 inches. Well, 6 inches, think about that.
If you
had your cell phone and it was GPS compatible in your shirt pocket,
yeah,
and you could zero in a 6-inch circumference of that area, well, then you start thinking about the theories and conspiracies of like killer satellites with laser beams and whatnot. Well, boy, that sure opens up the door of a whole lot of scenarios. And that is scary in itself. And so anyway, from what I understand, yeah, all GPS devices that are available on the quote-unquote consumable product lines now cannot be that accurate. They have to be off by 12 or 20 feet. I can't, and I apologize. I'm sure some member's going to be U2Uing me. No, right. It's 13.6 feet.
Yeah, U2U, John.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, that's my thoughts on it. You know, I think that, you know, was it an experiment? Don't know. Is it a conspiracy? Don't know. It's interesting, though, and I think it's also interesting that it didn't get more news coverage. But, you know, you and I both know, as well as our members here, you know, Deny Ignorance members, if it's not getting a lot of mainstream notoriety, that doesn't mean that it didn't happen and that there isn't a certain significance of heaviness to the item, subject matter, or article. You know, it's just one of those things that, for whatever reason, was swept under the rug. For who knows what.
ATS Mix. More thread discussion from AboveTopSecret.com.
Dave, you ever get a chance to roam around the forum arena entitled Military and Government Projects?
Yeah, sometimes I get some really interesting things on there, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. We have a very new member, and by new member, I mean that he just recently joined up here in the past couple of months. He apparently hasn't posted all that often. It looks like he has 22 ATS points, 3 BTS points, and 2 PTS points. So he's taken his time of wandering around the vastness of www.abovetopsecret.com. But I always like to try to give the new members a chance here, and so I thought I would mention his post, his thread. It is entitled, once again, in Military and Government Projects, Spaceship Patent. And he says, not sure. Oh, by the way, this is by Black Projects. That is the name of the member, Black Projects. Not sure if all of you have had heard about this guy and his recent U.S. patent number 6960975, which is entitled Space Vehicle Propelled by the Pressure of Inflationary Vacuum State. Well, Dave, I know that you are a real whiz when it comes to physics, so that's one of
the
reasons.
I love physics.
Yeah, I
physics know. Was the top of, yeah. In fact, I had the highest grade in high school in physics.
Yeah. Now, was that for the bending the laws of physics?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kinda drive in.
Yeah.
Because I had a Corvair. I had a 65 Corvair. This is a small size. Yeah. I had a 1965 Corvair convertible.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, when you crawled in the back seat of that mother, you were bending the laws of physics.
You know, speaking of the Corvair, one of the strongest points of the Corvair was it had a twisted belt. You know, it had an infinity-shaped belt. That ended up actually being one of the strongest points on the Corvair. I always thought it was a cool car, though. But I loved it.
The only time it was really a downside is because, you know, the trunk's in the front of the car.
All right.
Some guy backed in when I had my container of Coors beer that we got down from Oklahoma.
Oh.
And we go to the drive-in, the guy backs up, and he hits that lock in front of the car, you know.
Oh.
And we had, like, you know, 4 6 packs of Coors beer. We were going to have a good time at the drive-in that night.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well,
anyway, go ahead.
Just quickly, how old were you?
17.
All right.
I was a junior.
Yeah,
junior,
just
maybe. No, I was a sophomore, 17.
Well, so you started bending the laws of physics at a young age.
Yes.
So there is a link that our friend Black Projects has posted up there, and it is www.borisvolson.com. And I guess Boris Volson, Boris might be the actual inventor or engineer of this theory of this device, an anti-gravity spaceship. That he actually has a patent for, which was filed in November 1st in the year 2005. And so I'm kind of scrolling through all this, and like some of the information that's brought on, he says the invention itself, the spaceship, propelled by the pressure of inflationary vacuum state, features a cooled, hollow, superconductive shield. The shield is energized by an electromagnetic field. The resulting quantized fortices of lattice ions, project a gravitomagnetic field that forms a space-time curvature anomaly outside the spaceship. Well, now, here's, you know, I'm looking through all this, and I'm just wondering if this guy, just for the heck of it, looked up in his Funkin' Wagnalls, picked up words, gravitomagnetic fields, space-time curvature anomalies, quantized fortices of lattice ions, and says, you know, now I'm going to get on Adobe or Corel, and I'm going to draw this thing up, and then I'm going to send it in and get myself a patent on this thing. Well, unlike Dave, I'm not able to bend or even break the laws of physics all that much. So what I would like to suggest is that if you members that have an engineering degree or at least have a much better knowledge of physics than Dave and I do, I'd like you to check this out and then check back with us. Give us a U2U or whatnot and let us know if you think that this thing would actually break the laws of gravity. Because that's what basically he's doing. He claims he's built an anti-gravity device, or at least has the instructions for it. Well, a couple of the members said, like Anquil123 says, interesting if this is real. Does anybody here understand the physics part of it? Because it's quite complicated. And I would tend to kind of agree with you there, sir. Brother Stormhammer, which is an interesting member's name, said, I'll take a longer look at this on my day off, but a preliminary look-through isn't promising. Having waded through his patent documents, the associated web pages, and my physics textbooks and journals, his supporting documents seem to consist mostly of a lot of technical speak put together in a smokescreen worthy of the Grand Fleet at Jutland, covering a series of self-supporting assumptions. Circular logic and an overdose of jargon don't usually add up to anti-gravity faster than light travel or time travel. Which now I feel kind of redeemed, because that's kind of what I was saying. I just think that this guy kind of just threw a bunch of stuff together and then got on Corel and made something up. So, here is your quest, members. If you do have an experience in engineering or with physics, take a scan through this and then get back to Dave and I, and then we'll mention that on a soon future upcoming episode as to what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys.
Oh, yeah. Guys. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, like Dave mentioned before, the best bit of physics that he's worked on is getting beer to drip out of his Corvair.
We got the beer, by the way.
Oh, good.
Now, from the ATS Mix mailbag, it's time for Ask Dave and Johnny, where you can ask Dave and Johnny any question you want. But the answers provided by Dave and Johnny are not necessarily endorsed by the staff and management of AboveTopSecret.com or the Above Network LLC, and we strongly suggest you get a second, a third, and even a fourth opinion before implementing anything suggested by Dave and Johnny.
Well, it's time for a brand new segment here at ATS Mix at www.AboveTopSecret.com, which is entitled Ask Dave and Johnny, and this is where we dip in. Yeah, this is where we dip into the ATS Mix mailbag. Friends and members alike have sent us in by email, which, by the way, if you'd like to ask Dave or Johnny a question, you can do so by sending it to Dave_and, that's actually the word and, _, Johnny, and then the ampersand, and then it's mail to world.com. And so that would be mail, the number 2, world.com. All right. And I would like to say, Dave, that this being our first episode, we've actually posted our query for people to ask us questions about, I don't know, what, 2 weeks ago at least?
Oh, yeah. Two or three.
Apparently, people were a little slow in wanting to ask us any questions. But finally, some started to roll in. And to protect the identity of our members, we're not giving out their names or their email addresses, obviously, or their members' names. But I have to tell you, sir, as I look at it, I know that you haven't had a chance to look at these questions yet, but as I have looked at some of these, I got to tell you, I think a few of these may be trying to pull our leg. I don't know.
You think?
I don't know. We will find out. But let's start. Here's our first question.
Right,
hi.
Lay it on me.
All right. Hi, Dave and Johnny. I like your show, and I'd like to ask you how you two got your last names. And I guess they're talking about our stage names there, Dave.
Okay. Do you want me to start?
Please.
Okay. All right. My last name, Rabbit. Dave is actually really my first name. And Rabbit I took from a disc jockey that was here in Dallas in the 1960s by the name of Jimmy Rabbit. And when I was searching for a name, an identity, a persona, when I got into Saigon, it was to pay homage to Jimmy Rabbit. And that's where the Rabbit came from.
On my end, the Johnny Anonymous, obviously Anonymous is not my real last name. I've had quite a few different stage names that I've used in my career. In fact, I've changed my stage name so often, I probably could compete with most people that change their socks and their underwear. But I finally got tired. I was starting actually to run out of names to use, and I thought, well, you know, whatever the next stage name I do, it's going to be an anonymous one. And then I thought, hey, there you go. It's Johnny Anonymous. And that might not be the answer you're necessarily looking for there, our anonymous questionnaire, but that's the answer you're getting, and that's my story,
really?
And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. We're got another. Yeah, I don't know about some of these. Anyway, here's our next question, sir.
I can hardly.
Oh boy,
I'm laughing before the questions.
Oh well, that's like I said. I kind of doubt the validity of some of these questions we're being sent, but here we go. I'm a white 58-year-old male, and my question is of a personal nature. Why has the hair that I'm losing on my head now seem to be growing on my ears and my back? And Dave.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, I guess gravity has something to do with it. You know, at least that seems to be the problem for me. Not only am I getting it on my my ears and my back, but actually, I got to do a sidebar here, John.
All right.
I don't have any hair on my ears at all.
Oh.
None. I don't have a single hair anywhere on my ears. And, of course, being French, I don't have any on my back either, or my chest, or any. Well, I got some on, well, yeah, I got some down there, but I don't have anywhere else. The reason why I don't have any hair on my ears is because I have tweezers and I pluck every single hair out of my ears.
That's got to be painful. That's got to be painful. But why?
No,
but why?
Ask me why.
Why?
Because when I was growing up, I had a stepfather.
Yeah.
Whose name shall not be mentioned.
Sure.
But his ears look like Sherwood Forest in Robin Hood. you had trees coming out of his ears. And I thought it was so gross and so nasty.
Yeah.
When I was in the third grade, I began plucking all the hair out of my ears because I never wanted to have my ears look like that. True story. What's your answer?
Haven't really started losing the hair on my head. It has started to thin a bit, but I, even at a young age, I seem to have a lot of chest hair, back hair. In fact, I have seen photographs of my backside, and I look like some type
of... That's gonna be scary.
I look like some wildebeest or something, you know, and I have to admit, I've never attempted to shave it or have that, waxing, I think, where you, you know, speaking of such, sidebar, did you happen to see that movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. Remember when he goes in to get his chest waxed?
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Looks like a runway strip there.
Yeah, no kidding. From what I understand, he actually did that, and he told him, okay, we're going to do this live. And so every time he gets waxed there in a section of his chest, and he comes up with his lines and everything, and you see the tears wallowing up in his eyes. He's really feeling that for real,
I didn't know,
you know. Yeah. And ever since I saw that, I thought, you know, I'm never going to get this hair removed. If anything, I you know, I may shave it, but I, you know, what would I do? Have a pompadour, a crew cut? Mm. You know, what would I decide? So I guess our 58-year-old male, good luck. A toupee sounds like is in your future, and I don't know what to say about your hair on your ears or your back, but all right, well, here's our next question.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I don't know, this person does not say whether they are a boy or a girl. I'm assuming it's from a younger person, but they say, I have to create a science project for my class. Do you have any ideas for me? Which kind of leaves that wide open.
I have one.
Oh, okay, sir.
Yeah. Fill a bathtub full of water, immerse yourself, and then while you have your toaster plugged into the wall, drop it in and see if you can conduct electricity.
And this would be exactly why we had the disclaimer that was mentioned in the earlier part of the show.
I'm just teasing. Please don't try this at home. That damn rabbit, my God, that's the reason why Aunt Martha's not alive today. Sorry.
Right. Okay, well, I guess I'll jump in then.
Please.
I always thought that projects with alternative energy or solar power were always very cool. And it's been many, many years since myself, and I can only assume that Dave hasn't done any science projects unless it's like watching spiders spin webs in the corners of his ark that he's been building.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, we suck at science.
Yeah, I would say ask mom and dad.
Yeah. And keep your fingers out of plugs.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. That'd probably be a good one.
ATS Mix.
Yeah, listen up.
From above, top secret.
Jesus Christ.
.com.
Well, John, you know, another great show, by the way. I got to congratulate you on that, brother.
Oh, thank you very much. Golf claps all the way around.
Golf claps all over the place. But, you know, we forgot to do something, and I'm glad you know how I put sticky notes all over my monitor, and I just happen to see a sticky note that says, be sure and plug the second part of the show, which has to do with the interview of the second group of moderators that we got a chance to interview. www.abovetopsecret.com. And we need to be sure that everybody understands that this particular show has two segments, the one that you're listening to now and segment two, which is the interview of these moderators. And boy, was it a great interview.
So as soon as you get through listening to the end of this, go download part two.